and we're live.
All right. Elohim Tov, everybody.
Kol Hazman.
Elohim Tov. God is good all the time. My wife is going to pray us in,
hallelujah,
and then we're going to get started. She's so funny.
Our Father, in the name of Son Jesus Christ, Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this glorious day, dear Jesus. We thank you for the ministry that's already went forth, dear Lord. Mm-hmm. We thank you for the praise, dear Jesus, that inhabits this place, dear Lord. We thank you right now, dear Lord, for the word that's coming forth, dear Jesus, that we sit with excitement and expectation, dear Lord. Allow it to change lives, dear Lord, on this day, dear Lord. Remind us to go home and study for ourselves, dear Jesus. As you minister to Pastor Sandy, dear Lord, you minister to him and through him, dear Lord. Let the word be as you've given it to him, dear Lord. Help us to be encouraged on this day, dear Jesus. We thank you, dear Lord. We thank you for the man of God, dear Lord, that prepared himself for the message that bestowed upon us on this day, dear Jesus. We thank you for those that are abroad that are listening, dear Lord. I pray that their spiritual ears and hearts are open also to receive on this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Pastor Sandy, if you would afford me 1 minute.
Yes, come over here, Pastor Ben. Pastor Ben has something to tell you guys.
Amen. Don't go away.
No.
This morning we had, for the first time, we streamed our prayer service live. God willing, this will be an every Sunday thing. And if you want to go into the chat room and enter your prayer request, we can pray for you on the spot. Or if you want to email us your prayers and we can bring them up during the prayer service, however the Lord leads you. But this is an anointed prayer service that God himself is in, and we invite you to be a part of it every week.
Amen.
And no service.
Oh, yeah. And there'd be no Bible study on Wednesday?
And no.
Okay. And no.
RMBC.
Yeah, RMBC. Y'all know what RMBC is? Rishon Messianic Bible Club.
Club.
You got you, Pastor Ben. Okay. Praise the Lord. I am more than prepared. I was up quite early. To get ready. Where's Daryl at? Daryl, good to see you back, brother. Where you came in from?
From D.C.
From D.C., from Washington, D.C. You seen Donald hanging out there?
Not
lately. Not lately. He's pretty busy. Praise the Lord. All right. So let's get into the word, because the title of today's message is A Pattern to the Rapture.
Yeah.
Now, the whole message is not about the rapture. I think that probably the very ending is about the rapture. The most of the message is about the pattern, so that you can see God.
Yes.
Because one thing that the Lord has taught me through learning the word from him, and I say from him because he said, if you learn Hebrew, I'll teach you the Bible. And he has. I mean, I'm amazed. Okay. So, and even taught me something else this morning, which I'm going to share with you guys. One thing I've learned from learning his word and learning the history of Israel and learning everything about what is going on in this world, really putting in the time to study with the Lord, I've learned that God is real.
Yes.
And, you know, you say that and I say, well, there are other things that make me know that God is real, like not having any gas and somebody offer me a job to help them move for $50. That was God, right? I got on my knees and said, thank you, Lord. I don't know where he came from, but I needed the gas and I can move anything because I was strong back then. Well, I'm still strong. So I'm just saying, we know that God, I know God is real because I don't know the last time I've used profanity.
Okay.
And before I accepted Christ, I didn't know a day that I did not use profanity. So that, to me, that's a miracle. It's like, what is inside of me that's making my whole being change into the image of Christ? You know what I mean? So I understand and know that God is real. Okay.
Yeah.
But understanding the history of the world. Okay. And what God has done throughout the history of the world, and understanding the Bible now makes me go, not only is he real, he's incredibly intelligent, and he really knows how to write a book, right? Because I'm telling you, this book, if I wish I could just hang out with somebody all day and say, we're just going to go through the Bible, and I'm going to show you the gematrias, and I'm going to show you the prophecies. I'm going to show you how they all came true. I'm going to show how God dated them for certain. And it just all gels together just perfectly, right? So I want to let you know that what the Lord has given me for today is about his patterns so that you'll understand God, okay?
Yeah.
And the patterns lead you to the rapture. He's given a pattern to the rapture, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to show it to you so that you understand why I'm so excited about this last portion of my journey.
Yes.
And it's been an awesome journey. And I remember in the beginning, God told me, you're going to be like a Jeremiah and a Noah for this day. And I went, ooh, that was exciting. And then I thought about it. Jeremiah cried. And I did end up crying, right? So I'm like, okay, I should have only got excited about half of that. But God has really opened up his word, and we're going to look at it today. Let's go to the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 1 and 2.
Hallelujah.
And as we do that, I want to say, Pastor Ben, do you realize what God has done with our wives?
I know, right?
They were like so skeptical in the beginning, and now they're like full-fledged ministering machines. It's hard to turn them off now. When Drea was praying last week, I went, when did she become that? You know, it's God is good. God is good. Okay, Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Let me know when you get there. Amen. One person is there. Should I start with one person there? Okay, here we go. It says, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way, death came to all men, because all sinned.
Yes.
For before the law was given, sin was in the world. But sin is not taken into account where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who was a pattern of the one to come.
Yes.
Okay? So, we understand that sin came into the world through one man. And we understand that sin is going to be destroyed through one man.
Yeah.
Okay? But the thing is, the Adam that came first is a pattern. Okay? He is a pattern of the one to come. Now, in the Hebrew, it would say kimo, which means like or the same as. Okay? Or it would be a typology. Or so Adam is really just a typology of Jesus Christ, okay? Now, I want us to go to Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20. When you get there, say amen. None yet. First, amen. I'm gonna start reading. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20.
Amen.
Amen. It says, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all died, so in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own turn. Christ the first fruit, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Praise God.
Amen.
So we see in this pattern that there is both a first Adam and there is a second Adam, okay? So these two Adams, in the story of Adam and Eve, do you understand that the whole history of the Bible and the whole history of the world is in their story? You understand? And that may be incredible, but if you read Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim va'et haaretz, you have the whole story of the gospel in that first verse. If you just say in the beginning, Bereshit, you have the whole gospel in that one word. You understand? So God is like, the gospel is not a surprise to God and is not an afterthought. God was thinking about you. Yes. When, because Adam's sin is not the original sin. What's the original sin? Lucifer. Satan's sin. God, I got a plan, right? So the plan did not begin with Adam. The plan be said, okay, if that's what's in your heart, this is what I got planned, okay? And so God was thinking about you and your redemption when the world was created, okay? Because God knows one thing. I've created these people. I've created angels. Everything I create, like me, is eternal. Mm. But Satan can't live with me, not for eternity, not after what he did. So I need to create a place for him to be, because he can't be here, right? So if you read in the book of Enoch, you'll see God creating Satan's home. As he creates a flame on top and below that continually burns without consuming, right? So God created this place not for humans, but for angels.
Yes.
But then humans began to sin. And then now, guess what? We have an eternal existence. Okay? You cannot get rid of what? Energy and matter.
You're right.
He said you can replace it and put it somewhere else, but you can't get rid of it. Okay. So therefore, God has to have a place to put people who hate him. Okay. The whole thing about earth is to teach you to love God so that your eternity can be set, because someone came, resurrected out of the ground. Okay, and when he resurrected, he said, now everyone who believes in what I have done, I am going to resurrect. Yeah. And give them this eternal life so they can be where I am and they can live in my presence.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Lord told me to follow his lead. Yeah. So it is the same as when the Lord gave me the vision of the poodles, right? Half, all of them had rabies, but God wanted me to see something that only the ones who would allow them to give them the shot to cure the rabies were allowed to go back into the house.
Yeah.
There were some that wanted to bite and growl because they didn't want the shot, right?
Right.
But they were just as cute as the ones that took the shot. And God said, I created all of them. Aren't they all cute?
Yep.
He said, now, how many of the ones with rabies would you let in your house and play with your kids? And I said, none, Lord. I wouldn't let them in because they have rabies. But the ones that are healed, yes. He said, it's the same with me. I created them all. They're all beautiful. But only those who desire to be healed can come into my house. Because you'll ruin the existence. You understand?
Yeah.
So, that was one. Now, here we go to day 8, chapter 2. Now I need this book. Okay, I need you guys to go to Genesis chapter 26. Genesis chapter 26. And if someone would read aloud, as loud as they can, just the first sentence there in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Yes.
There was a famine in the land.
No, no, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Yeah. Yeah. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26.
Hallelujah.
Then God said, let us make man in our own image.
Okay, stop right there. Now watch. I'm at a Jewish synagogue, okay? And the guy says, turn your page to Bereshit Asrim Vishesh, which is 26, right? So I turn and he begins to read in Hebrew. Then he says it in English. And he says this. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and of the birds. So I said, mankind? It says man in my Bible, right? Where did he get the idea that it said mankind? So I now start looking up all the English Bibles. Half of them said mankind, and half of them said man. So I wanted to ask this Jewish rabbi, why did you say God created mankind? And he said, because that's what the Hebrew insinuates and says, that God created mankind. And so I'm like, so you mean on the sixth day God created more than one man? Now, look, I've tried to teach this to Christians before, and the brain is like switching you off from saying Pentecost is not about you having the five gifts of the Spirit. It's about counting the 50 days of Omer to getting to Pentecost, right? Which means 50. You have to rather re-click your mind, but you shouldn't have to, because when I asked him the question, they looked at me as if I didn't have any sense. They said, Pashut, it's simple, right? He said, mankind. Unless you think that God created Adam and Eve, they had two kids, okay? And one killed the other one, and then the other one said, I can't go out there because somebody might kill me.
Right.
Okay, so you would have to insinuate that where did the other people come from that's going to kill Cain, okay? And now he says, the Adam that's created on the eighth day is a typology. And I'm like, Adam on the eighth day?
Eighth day.
God created Adam. So let's look at this. Well, watch this. Okay, because this is all leading to the full prophecy of our coming day. Okay? It says, now watch this. It says, let us make mankind in our own likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and over the livestock and the wild animals and over the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, God created them, male and female, he created them. Okay? So God created them, male and female, he created them. Now he tells them. Now, if you tell two people this, like imagine it's just you and your wife, and I say, be fruitful and fill the earth. You'd be like, that's a lot of work, boy, to be fill the earth. This is a big place, right? But that's what God tells them. God tells, on the sixth day, he tells them, now be fruitful and fill the earth. So how many did he create, or did he expect two to do this? So you have to understand why the Jewish man is reading it, and he's saying, no, that's mankind. He said, let me introduce you to the Adam, the prophetic Adam, okay? Because there is a Adam, a mankind that was created, and then there's a prophetic Adam that's coming to save them.
Yeah.
You understand? So that Adam, I cannot create on the sixth day, because the future Adam is going to come out of the ground. Okay? So watch this. Let's go. In Let's go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. It says, thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. It says, by the seventh day, God had finished his work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all of his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. Okay? Because on it, he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. So what did God do on the seventh day? He rested. Now, I want you to look at the board real fast so we understand the eighth day, okay? This or the first day. Yom Rishon is called Sunday. So God's creation began on what day?
Sunday,
okay? Now we're going to count 7 days. Second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day. Seventh day is Saturday, which is Shabbat. Okay? So what's the eighth day going to be? Back to Sunday. You understand? So on this day called Yom Rishon, the first day of the week. Remember the ladies? They said the ladies went to the tomb on the first day of the week and Christ had risen, right? It never says Sunday. Because there was no Sunday then, you understand? Right. If the Sunday didn't come until Pope Gregory came and start changing, putting these names on these days so that they can worship idols, right? So now he said, it says on the first day of the week they came to the tomb to see Christ and realize he had risen when? On Yom Rishon, what you call Sunday, which God calls the first day, and sometimes God calls it the eighth day.
Yes.
Okay? But it's the same day. Now, I want us to read this. Let's go to Genesis, back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 11 to 13. I'm showing you this to show you a pattern here. It says here, then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, trees on the land, and bear fruit with seed in it according to their various kind. And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plant-bearing seeds according to their own kind, trees bearing fruit with seeds according to their own kind, and God saw that it was good. Vahiyere, Vahiboker, Yom Shalishi, or Yom, the third day, right? But he's already created trees with vegetation and fruit with all this has already been produced. Okay, let's go to Genesis chapter 2. And let's see. Oh, verse 5. Chapter 2, verse 5. Now, no shrub had yet appeared on the earth. No plant had yet sprung up, for the Lord had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no one to work the ground. So now on the third day, he's saying there's plants and trees and vegetation and everything. But now when we get to chapter 2, he says, and there was no vegetation and no herb. And he says, because God had not made a man to till the ground yet.
Two separate events.
Two separate events and two separate lands.
Yeah.
Because when Cain gets kicked out, remember, he get kicked out of an area that was reserved. When Adam and Eve get kicked out and they get put out, they get kicked out of a very specific area, which God calls paradise, because this is where God is have relationship with man and everything is perfect. Okay? And he creates this man on the eighth day. Okay? Because he doesn't create this Adam until when? Till he says, God had finished all of his work, then he rested on the Sabbath day. Mm-hmm. And then in chapter 2 it says, then he said, let's make a man. And then he makes a man. And then he says, it's not good that man be alone. That means he's the only one there.
Right.
Right.
Because salvation is only going to come through one, because sin is only going to come through one, right? But I'm making him on the eighth day. So what day did Jesus come out of the ground?
On the eighth day?
On Yom Rishon, on Sunday, right? What day did God create Adam out of the ground? Eighth day. So you got two men that come out of the ground on the eighth day. On the eighth day, God took from the dust of the ground and he formed Adam, okay? And he blew into his mouth, and that man became a living soul. He came out of the ground. Jesus Christ, the next Adam, on the eighth day was buried but resurrected and came out of the ground. Why? He is a pattern of the Adam number one. Now he's Adam number two. Okay.
Amen.
You guys get that, right?
Yes. Amen.
Okay. So therefore, let's get to this. So therefore, when God creates a bride for Adam, now this Adam, this eighth day Adam, is a prophecy of a future Adam, which is Christ. This prophecy now has to be completed, because God, he doesn't want to just tell you part of the story. Yes, he's going to resurrect on the eighth day. Why? Because I created the first Adam on the eighth day. Yes, that's true. But there is something else. I need to create for him a bride, because it's not good that he be the only one like himself.
Wow.
Now you're saying he's the only one like himself. Why? He's the only one living in paradise with his wife. The others are living outside. That's where Cain was afraid to go. But this Adam is specific because he is there to prophesy about a coming Adam, okay? So what does God do with him? God puts him to sleep, right? And God takes from his side, what? A rib. And while he is asleep, God creates a bride for him. When he comes out of his sleep, is considered a resurrection. Once he comes out of his sleep, God takes the bride and brings her to Adam.
Yes.
Now, I don't know how he brought her there, if they walked together, or if he lifted her up and put her on his back or whatever, but he brought his bride to Adam.
Yes.
Okay? That's what the scripture says. Instead of the scripture saying, and Adam went searching to see what God had done and found his bride. It doesn't say that. God brought the bride to Adam. Okay? So therefore, now you have a prophecy of a marriage that is going to happen, that the bride is specifically created by God. And if that bride was created by God, then the second Adam, that means everyone who believes in Jesus Christ becomes part of the bride of Christ. Who created you? Who made you stop cursing and want to live holy? You accepted Christ. The Spirit came into you. The scripture says that you are a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. Why? You never had God inside of you before. Right. God has now created you. That's why he wants us to live holy.
Yeah.
Because if God is living inside of you, you've got to understand who you belong to,
yeah,
right? So now we belong to God. We are part of this bride. And he's getting this bride together for a purpose. What's the purpose? A wedding. If you let people, let me read this. This is Juke. Juke said, remember Juke? Juke is the guy that accepted Christ, right? He was a Satanist. He's accepted Christ on our Wednesday night Bible study, right? So I said, hey, man, give me a call, and I want to talk to you and everything. He said to me, we tell Christians for Satan there is no rapture. This is a Satanist. Why is... This is somebody who was a Satanist. He's a born-again believer now.
Yes.
But now, why, my question is, why does Satan not want people to know that there's a rapture? Why is that such a assignment for you? To take away their hope and focus.
Wow.
Because if you think you're going through the tribulation, that takes away your hope of escaping. If you think there's nothing more than to life than this earth, that takes away your focus from focusing on God. But Colossians says, you have your mind stayed on God. Make your everything should be focused on things above and not things on the earth. Okay. If you stay focused and realize, Pastor Ben said it so beautifully, you've got to look in the mirror every morning and go, that's not me.
Amen.
But you inside of there, we going to heaven. That fleshly body, sorry, you can't go. But what's in there, we going to heaven.
Amen.
And the body knows this. That's why the body says, hey, let's do drugs.
Right.
You're like, why? Because I can't go to heaven. I'm going to hell anyway. I'm just going back to dirt anyway, so I might as well have some fun while I'm here.
Right.
Your body does not care about your spirit. That's why it can't guide you. It can't lead you. It doesn't care about the real you. It doesn't care about eternity, because why? I don't get an eternity.
Right.
So I don't care. Let's have fun.
Right.
So, and you've got to say to the flesh, no, you not, because I have to go somewhere. Once this is over, I got to go somewhere. All right? I know you got no money on the table, but me, I got money on the table. You understand?
Amen.
Right. Amen. So understand that God is talking about a marriage in Genesis. Okay? And I want to express to you that bride he's talking about in Genesis is a Gentile bride. And that's the pattern that you get start seeing throughout Scripture. A Jewish man marrying a Gentile woman. Okay? So let's continue. Okay. Now, in Exodus chapter 4, let's go to Exodus chapter 4. Pastor Ben, I hope we got a whole lot of time today.
Oh, we got
time. Oh, good. Exodus chapter 4. When you get there, let's go to verse 22. Okay, it says here, then say to Pharaoh, God is speaking to Moses, this is what the Lord says. Israel is my firstborn son, and I told you, let my son go so that he may worship. But if you refuse to let him go, I will kill your firstborn son. So God says, who's his firstborn son?
Israel.
Is it Jesus?
Jesus begotten.
Jesus is the first begotten, but for God, Jesus is the second born.
Yeah.
Israel is the firstborn. So Adam and Eve have two children. Who's the firstborn?
The Jew.
No, Adam. Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve have two children. What is the name of the first child?
Cain.
What did Cain do to the second child?
Killed.
So the scriptures is telling you, the future Adam, who is God, has two children, Israel and Jesus. Israel represents Cain.
Yeah.
Jesus, Israel represents Cain. Jesus represents Abel. So the firstborn is going to kill the secondborn. And then let's look at this. Hallelujah. Let's look at this. Oh, am I doing this stuff right? Lord, help me. Okay. I'm going back to Genesis. And that's why I brought this other Bible. Okay. I'm going back to Genesis. And we're going to be in what? Chapter 2. Or 3. Hallelujah. Okay. Anyway, I know the scripture, so I'm going to say it myself. because I don't want to be fumbling around in the Bible. Okay, listen to me, you guys. You guys listening?
Yeah.
Okay, get out of your book, because I don't like fumbling through pages. Okay, so here we have Cain, right? After Cain kills his brother, what happens here? God goes to Cain and says, Cain, where is your brother? And he says, arrogantly, am I my brother's keeper? He said, what have you done? He said, the blood of your brother is crying out. And he says, so now this is going to be your punishment. You get out of the land from where you stand. You will be a vagabond,
yes,
throughout the world. When Israel killed Jesus, what did God do to Israel? Said, get out of the land.
Mm.
Now you are going to be a vagabond throughout the world until I bring you back. So if you see the pattern, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cain gets kicked out of the land for killing his brother. The Jews get kicked out of the land for killing their brother. So God is seriously on a pattern thing. And he's like, I'm showing you the pattern of how everything is going to happen in the book of Genesis. Because once Cain killed Adam, God said, get out of the land. And he said, this is a worse punishment. I will be a vagabond all throughout the earth. He said, that means you have no real home now. Okay? So now Cain is out there. But look, let's look at this. Wait a minute. Let me. Okay. Watch this. No, we're going to do this real fast. Havel. Here it is. I'm going to make sure I spell it right, too. Yep. Havel. Okay. Now, this name is the name of Abel. It has a gematria of 37, right? Listen to me. The 37 that equals Abel is, if you go with the 24... the 24 in the priesthood times is going to equal 888. Okay, who's 888? Jesus. So all the time when God is talking to you about Abel, he's really telling you about Jesus Christ. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24.
Good
Hebrews. And I'm going to start reading at verse 23. It says, to the church of the firstborn, to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. He's talking about us. You have come to God, the judge of all men, the spirit of righteous men, made perfect. That's us. To Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Mm. So God is saying where we're going is to the other Abel. The first Abel's blood cried out for what? Justification and revenge, right? For who killed me. The second blood is a better blood, because what does it cry out for? Reconciliation.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's letting you know that the whole story about Abel and Cain is about a coming Christ and his brothers killing him. And then after they kill him, okay, get out of the land. So Israel leaves the land in 70 AD. They are Cain in the world. Okay, so now let's get to this. I tell you, God said, if I learn Hebrew, he'll teach me the Bible. I learned that this morning, too. Trying to act like I'm so smart. Lord, like, you ain't all that. Okay, so let me make sure I'm giving you everything that the Lord wants me to give you. Okay, so now that we understand that, okay? Do you believe? This is God's question. Do you believe that God has always worked in patterns?
Yes.
Yes. Because, let me tell you, God created the sun, right? When does he create the sun? on the fourth day, okay? The sun's created on the fourth day, but then when the sun is created, the sun, I've learned so much about the sun since getting into all this science stuff, but the sun penetrates walls. What comes from the sun is the reason why we're alive.
Yeah.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
Nothing can stop the penetration of the substance that the sun gives us to actually stay alive. And without the sun, we'd all drop dead.
Yeah.
Did you guys know that?
Yeah.
He was created on the sun. God created the sun on the fourth day. Jesus comes into this world and he dies in the 4,000th year. Why? Because you can't kill a lamb until when? The fourth day. Because God knows that the true son that is coming later is going to be responsible for giving life to everybody.
Yeah.
And that's Christ.
Yeah.
So you see, that is a pattern. Then, of course, he's from the tribe of Judah. So Judah's the fourth child born. Then, you know, they keep Moses. The mother keeps Moses for 3 months. And then in the fourth month, she lets him go. Everything about four has to do with Jesus in life, right? Because God is on a pattern. Okay. So now we're ready for the lesson
ready
today.
Hallelujah.
Elohim Tov.
Cool.
Yeah. I'm telling you. Okay. So now I want to talk to you about Eve.
All right.
Okay? Because Eve is the beginning of judgment. Eve brought forth into the world the first judgment of all mankind. Okay? And please don't say that Adam also did it, because Adam did it for a purpose.
Right.
Because the scripture said Adam was not deceived,
right,
but his wife was deceived, but he ate because of what? His love for his wife. If she's dying, I'd be like that with Drea too. I'd be like, if my baby dying, I'm dying too. So Adam is like, well, give it to me. Because you done, girl. So you better give me a bite too. We ride or die, right?
Right.
You know what I mean? we together, right? You got to understand that the first Adam ate because he loved his wife.
Yeah.
The second Adam ate because what? Jesus didn't have to die for you. He could have been like, y'all messed up. Jesus said, no, let me get off the throne. Let me go down here. Let me die because I want my bride to live.
Yeah.
Okay? So Jesus purposely came and experienced sin for us so that we could have life.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
You see the patterns. Okay. So.
Messed up, bro.
Pastor B, get a kick out of me. All right. So let's look at this as we look at Eve, okay? Because I think we're going to be in Genesis chapter 2, right? Genesis chapter 2. And it says here, in verse 21, it says, and the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. Okay? So Adam goes to sleep. He gets pierced in the side. Of course, Jesus is on the cross. He's already dead, and what do?
Pierce
him in his side, right? So now it says here, he closed up the flesh. Now, God said, I am going to give him a what? A helper, right? I'm going to give him a helper. This is a support system, someone to help you in this battle in the earth. I am going to give you. So here's the word semek, which means a support or a helper. Okay. This is the helper that God gave to Adam, right? The numerical value is 120, directly connected to Eve. The numerical value of 120, Semek, is directly connected to Eve. When Eve sins, judgment doesn't come upon Eve. Judgment doesn't come upon Adam. Judgment comes upon what? The whole world. Because what you've done is not just going to affect you and your husband. Everybody who's living throughout the whole world has now been affected by what you did, because you let sin in, and therefore now the whole creation is cursed.
Yes.
So now, I want us to go to Genesis chapter 6. Okay? You in Genesis chapter 6? Then I'm going to ask you a question as soon as I'm done. Okay? Genesis chapter 6, verse 3. It said, and the Lord said, he's speaking to Noah, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Okay? God doesn't judge him right there. God doesn't judge the earth right there. When's he telling Noah that the judgment's coming? 120 years. Does the judgment come in 120 years? Is this the first time God uses 120 to bring judgment upon the whole world? No. The first time is Eve. The first time judgment came on the whole earth, connected with the number 120, is Eve. This is the second time.
Wow.
So God is like, I want you to see my pattern. 120 will always be connected with judgment. Okay? A complete change has happened because Eve has sinned. A change is going to happen and judgment is coming. Now he's telling Noah, listen. A change is going to happen and judgment is coming. Why? I'm going to make a similarity between you and the first person that did this. Okay? So now the 120 causes judgment of the earth, and God now prophesies another 120 that's going to bring judgment upon the whole earth. Let's read this very important passage in Numbers chapter 20. I love teaching instead of preaching. Numbers chapter 20. Okay. And let's start at verse 9. Chapter 20, verse 9. So Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence, just as he was commanded. And he and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock and said, Moses said to them, listen, you rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock? Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with the staff, and water gushed out, and the community and their livestock drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land that I'm going to give to them. Mm-hmm. So he says, you will not see the promised land.
Right.
Why? Because you know I'm a God of patterns.
Right.
And you just broke my pattern. Because who is the rock? Tazor, right? Which is Christ, 296 times 3, 888, Jesus. The rock is Jesus. So you know that the rock is going to come the first time, and he's going to be struck. And by him being struck, he'll bring everlasting living water to the whole world. When the rock comes the second time, And this is the second time God is telling him. The first time he told him, strike the rock. Why? Because when the rock comes the first time, he's going to get struck. But now the rock is going to come the second time. And he says, when this rock comes, speak to it and the water will come out. But Moses, in his anger at the people, struck the rock a second time. And God said, that's not my pattern. So now he says, you're not going to enter the promised land. Does he destroy him there? Or what does he do? Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 34.
Amen.
Verse 7. And here it says, Moses was 120 years old when he died. Yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. So Moses planned to live further than 120 because they're not in the promised land.
Right.
Had he not sinned, he would have lived past 120.
Yeah.
But now he dies at 120. Why? Because 120 is connected to what? Judgment and change.
Wow.
So there you have the third pattern in scripture that God is telling you in 120, judgment and change always happens. Okay? So now we get to the next pattern. Let's go to the book of Judges, chapter 16.
Amen.
Okay? Now I have to teach you guys, but no, I could just say it. Okay. The word pillar in Hebrew has a numerical value of 120. We already know the word semek, which means a helper or support, also has a numerical value of 120. We know that the person that is coming to save us is a Samson, but not the first Samson. He's the greater Samson that's coming, okay? So God wants to show you a pattern in the first Samson to let you know what the later Samson is going to do. Because Jesus already said, look, the whole volume of the book is about me.
Yes.
So he's like, read every detail, every word, every letter. The Greek word says every minute detail is about Christ. So that means every letter, every number, every word is all about Jesus. Samson is about Jesus. Okay? Now, if you're in Judges chapter 16, right? And we are in verse 29. And it says, then Samson reached toward the central pillars. What is a pillar? What's the numerical value of a pillar? 120. On which the temple stood. That word stood is the word supported, of which the temple was supported. So the stadium that they were sitting in, okay, because all the Palestinians are sitting in the audience, and they're watching because Samson is now blind in both of his eyes, and this is a spectacle to them, right? But Samson says, "Lord, give me strength one more time." The pillars are numerical value 120. They get pushed out by Samson. So Samson removes the pillars from the support system. And the scripture said, because the whole place was supported by who? The pillars. Who's the pillars? In Hebrew, the pillars is the church. I could tell to Timothy, and it'll say the pillars is the foundation of the church. So the pillars is the church. Samson has to push the church out of the way to bring judgment on the people. And you have in that verse 220 words to let you know this strong man is going to bring judgment, but not till he removes the pillar, the church. And so now in the 120th, We're about to be removed so that judgment can come.
Wow.
I don't expect anybody to believe me after 2003 up to today. But God says, you teach it and teach it boldly. Okay? Because I was trying to tell Drea my dream the other day. And I had this dream that all these people were waiting. And I'm like, we're like talking about like Christ and like how bad the world is getting. And then all of a sudden I see this fire come from the sky and boom, it hit the earth. And I'm up in the air like this, and I see a bunch of people under a canopy, and I look over and they go, hey, Pastor Sandy. And the Lord says, while you're teaching, this is going to happen. Because before the fire came, I was running everywhere trying to tell people, this is the 120th. This is the end of the judgment. This is the 100th. I'm going everywhere until the fire hit. And then all of a sudden, we're up in the air. And I see this bunch of people. Hey, Pastor Sandy. I'm like, did you guys see the fire fall? They were all happy. I'm like, they're safe. But God is trying to tell me something, okay? My job as a pastor, and I think is one of the toughest jobs in the world now. Because before I was like, oh, I can do that, Lord, no problem. But it has been one of the toughest jobs in the world because God said, prepare my people to leave. This is your message, end time prophecy. This is what I'm giving you, and it's going to be hard. Push. And he just pushed me in the water. Go. Oh, by the way, you're going to be a Jeremiah and a Noah. Jeremiah cried, so get ready. Right? So the whole journey has been, not the whole journey, but parts of the journey has been, Lord, I'm disappointed again. Look, I mean, the first time was just tears, you know. But I was expecting God to say, okay, the rapture didn't happen in 2010. Stop it and go back to just preaching the gospel. The Lord didn't tell me that. He said, continue. And pushed me back out there. And I said, no, I'm not going back out there. I'm not preaching this no more. 2013, the Lord came. He visited with me. Listen, you got to get back to doing what I told you to do. So I'm trying to preach to you that God is coming. Because our hope is what? The rapture.
Yes.
Okay? So now I'm back out there. And my friends in Martinique called me and say, we want you to come here and preach. I went there with every intention that I'm not preaching about end time prophecy. And I'm struggling with God all night saying, I don't want to teach this because I don't have a board. And then they had a board behind a picture and the whole thing. You guys know the story, right? So then 2017 comes, which I know was the end of the sixth day. The 6,000 years was over. You know what they do when you work your full week and you've been working for a bride? At the end of your sixth day, they start planning your marriage.
Yes.
'Cause you've already worked your sixth day. So 2017 was it. So now guess what? In Psalms 117, it tells every Gentile to rejoice. In Psalms 117. In Psalms 117, stands for 2017, the Lord was saying the Gentile church should be rejoicing. Why? Because the sixth day your husband has worked his full week. Rejoice. Why? It's time to plan your wedding.
Yes.
And so now God is planning the wedding. And so now we get to Jesus, and Jesus is like, I gave you the answer a long time ago. I told you it'd be just like the days of Noah.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Noah's generation was 120 years. That generation is called the generation of the righteous. Look in the scripture. Tell me how many times you find generation and righteous in the same verse. Twice. One in Psalms and one in Genesis with Noah. Okay? The generation of the righteous is here. We're part of that. So that's why I looked in this and I said, I remembered the words of Juke. We tell Christians, for Satan, there is no rapture. Really? That's what you guys do? That's what I was online doing. I was trying to discourage people about the rapture. And I saw your thing was about, it, you teach about the rapture. So I wanted to come on and make sure that I discourage people so they get confusion about it, because I want to make sure that we take away that hope and they lose focus. Because your focus is supposed to be on God and not on earth. You understand? It's not because you're supposed to be afraid to live. You're supposed to live and enjoy because you have Christ, and you know you're not going to be here. You're passing through.
Right.
You think I'm going to be in Cancun worried? I'm here to enjoy myself. You understand? You're passing through. Enjoy your life, but understand at all times you don't live here.
Amen.
We wasn't in Cancun trying to buy furniture. Looking for a job. We knew that we were only there for a short time, and we knew we were leaving, and we are here to enjoy ourselves and praise our God for the blessing. And when it's time to go, it's time to go. Hey, let's go home. Got food at home, right? I hope you guys understand these four 120s. Eve started it, and she brought judgment upon the whole world. God predicted 120 years, and the second 120 was the flood of Noah. Jesus says our day will be just like their day. Now, Moses sins, and God waits till he's 120 before he judges. And now we have the book of Psalms. That is Psalms 1, Psalms 2, Psalms 3. Every year is, and God made Psalms the 19th book of the Bible. For what reason? And why would the book of Psalms prophesy every prophetic thing for that year in the book of Psalms? Up until the rebirth of Israel, to the UN speaking, to the 91 war, everything is prophesied in Psalms. But not till you get to Psalms 120 do you get a brand new thing. Because what is Psalms 119? 22 letters with 8 verses. Who's the 888? Jesus. Psalms 120 is a Genesis psalm, meaning this is a new beginning. What do they call it? This is the Psalm of Ascent. So you get 120 psalms before you get to Psalm of Ascent. And so if God follows his patterns, you don't have to believe me, but if God follows his patterns, we should be very excited about the coming days and be very excited about who we are in Christ. Because I'm excited about eternity. I'm really excited about eternity. I can care less, and I'm enjoying myself. I love all my days with my family. I love all my days with my wife. I'm enjoying this. But let me tell you something. I know there's something better. So praise God. Be joyful about who you are in Christ, because he didn't have to do this.
Amen.
Okay? He took on your sin so that you can share in his world. Behold, I go unto the Father. And he says, but he says, I am going to build a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. He wants you to see. I want you to see where real life happens. And because of that, I took every stripe, every hit, every punch, because I was thinking about, if you read Psalms 22, the very end, he said he did it for generations in the future.
Yes.
He did it for all of us, so that we could come to him. Enjoy your life in Christ, because you know what? It was not easy to get you saved.
Huh. Amen.
It was hard just to get you to go to church once. Now you got people coming, judging you, talking about, you ain't perfect. You ain't perfect. Dude, there was a time I smoked weed all day and cursed all day. I go to church and I'm trying.
Amen.
Keep praying for me.
Amen.
You understand?
Amen.
Because some people don't care about God at all. You wake up and you're conscious that Jesus wants you to get better.
Yeah.
You're in a good place.
Yes, sir.
You understand?
Yeah.
You're in a good place. So be excited about who you are in Christ. You're a new creature. We have a great eternity that's planned for us, and it was planned way back in Genesis. Praise God. Amen. That's it. Oh, I told him that in the beginning, right? On Wednesday night, do not tune in for Bible study because we will not be here. Our Spanish church is having a dinner here, so we've given them the night because we're Christians. And Thursday, we'll be with our own family, and I hope you're with your own family. So, and enjoy, witness to them. If it's causing them to be mad at you, pray for them. Let me give them some advice, Pastor Ben. Don't be at Thanksgiving dinner trying to tell people, are you ready for the rapture? Don't do that.
You're going to hell.
Enjoy your family, okay? Enjoy your family. You can pray for them before you get there. You can mention Jesus, but if it gets them a little crazy, don't spend that day fighting with your family about Jesus is coming.
Right.
You can pray for them. The best way to get somebody saved is to pray for them first, because you got to break that soil up. You understand? That soil has been tough for a long time. Pray for them first, and they'll come to you and say, hey, I noticed you've been going to church. You have anything you want to tell me? They'll come to you to ask you about Jesus after you break up the soil.
That's right.
Running in and telling people, you need Jesus, is not the way to witness, all right?
Amen.
It's subtle.
Amen.
Fishermen are very wise, right?
Amen.
Okay,
yeah.
Praise God.
Amen.
Yeah, let's pray for the people. And let's pray for the family here. Father God, we thank you for everyone in the seats here today. I thank you for your patterns, Lord, Father God, that we can trust your patterns, Father God. I thank you for continually, Father God, leading us and guiding us a path, Father God, all the way to the rapture until you take us home. I pray for all the members that are here. I pray for all the members that are on YouTube throughout the world, that they will continue to be excited about Jesus, the only way, the truth, and the life. Bless them on this coming Thanksgiving, Father God. Bless their families. Bless them, Father God, in their safety. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right.
Good word, Pastor.
Hallelujah. I have fun.